Live from the Paragon 7 studios, you are listening to the Lounge J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
We can settle this like some grown men on a concrete floor. My slugs will put a stop to your hardcore ways of action. I'll grab the gat and ain't no turning back when I start blasting. I told y'all I have bars, man. Messing around with me. I'm a legend up in here in the booth. I know you're listening, Rampage. If you're out there listening, call Bus and be like, yo, we got to get Lance J in on this Flip Mode reunion tour that we're going to do in 2022. Man, I want a piece of that action. I want to be up in there with Spliff and Ra and the Landlord and then all the conglomerate people, Preya, all of those guys. Dope music coming from both sides of Bus's camp. I want to be a part of that, Rampage. Make it happen. Get Money Marseille on the phone and say, yo, man, we're gonna give Lance J 4 bars on the next Flip Mode album. And with those 4 bars, I will parlay that into the next Drake-esque career. It'd be the best 4 bars in the history of hip hop. I give you my all for 4 bars. Speaking of individuals, I was playing a little bit of Mobb Deep. Right back at you from Mobb Deep on the infamous album. So speaking of someone who's infamous and is getting the right back at you treatment, I'm reading this from NBC News. I don't read a lot from NBCnews.com. The Facebook papers documents reveal internal fury and dissent over site's policies. Thousands of leaked documents highlight employees' disillusionment with spread of misinformation and calls to violence. Francis Hagen, H-A-U-G-E-N, who worked as a Facebook product manager until May, has come forward as a whistleblower and provided internal Facebook documents to Congress and the Securities and Exchange Commission. Now, if you ever watch Wolf of Wall Street or pretty much any movie about boiler rooms or people who got filthy, rotten, rich, overnight, private jet, Lambo living, country club lifestyle. Once the SEC, and I don't mean Alabama football. I don't mean Georgia, the number one team in the land, Georgia. Once the SEC, I don't mean Tim Tebow, but when the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, comes for you, that's really, really, really bad. You don't beat the SEC. You don't beat them in football either. But you really, really don't beat them, the feds, when they start snooping around. And they usually, they don't come for you unless they have an airtight case. So the Securities and Exchange Commission, they're not worried about the $100,000 that you made off of Bitcoin or off of GameStop or any of these overnight sensations. They are coming for the big fish. And when they start circling, whether it's Facebook or Amazon or any of these multi-billionaire supervillains, that's not good. Companies always get too big. It's the history of the world says companies get so big. Times evolve, times change. I mean, it's Sears is out of business. U.S. Steel is not what it used to be. GM is a GM. I don't even know if GM's in business. But if they are still in business, GM is not a major player like it once was. I mean, most people rather have a Range Rover. Most people rather have a Honda Accord. Most people rather have a daggone Kia Sorento. But you don't see people lined up to buy GM cars. anymore. But once upon a time, you would think that Ford and GM, they would have a monopoly in the United States forever. They'd be the best ever. Who drives a Ford unless it's a pickup truck? And if you want to get an F-150, if you're trying to move cargo from one side of town to the other, Ford is the best that you have to offer. But if you can afford to get a GT Mustang, you can afford to get a Porsche, or you can afford to get a Range Rover, or you can afford to get a Lamborghini, or you can afford to get one of these other luxury, high-end European cars that have a much better reputation in the market. So, reading back to this article, hours after the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol, Mike Schroffer, Facebook's CTO, Chief Technology Officer, posted on the company's internal message board, hanging there everyone, he wrote, Facebook should allow for peaceful discussion of the riot, but not calls for violence. His post was met with scathing replies from employees who blamed the company for what was happening. I'm struggling to match my values to my employment here. I'm sure an employee wrote in comment. I'm sure that employee was still cashing the checks, though, so I'm not big on that. His name was redacted in a version seen by NBC News. I came here hoping to effect change and improve society, but all I've seen is atrophy and the abdication of responsibility. Another employee asked, how are we expected to ignore when leadership overrides research-based policy decisions to better serve people like the groups inciting violence today? The comments openly challenged the company's leadership with a not-so-subtle message. Facebook's well-documented problems in abetting violent polarization and encouraging the spread of misinformation weren't getting fixed despite the company's investments and promises. This is where Lance J chimes in. Facebook is here to incite theater. Now, I'm not going to say anything inflammatory. See, the show's getting so big, I don't want to get sued. I definitely won't get sued by Facebook. But social media, in general, is not good for you. Social media does not exist to make you happy. It doesn't exist to make your daughter feel better about her body. It doesn't exist to make you feel better about the opposing political party's agenda. So if you're a Trumper, you hate Black Lives Matter's guts. Social media is not here to make that feel better. Social media is not here to say, hey, you know, I actually understand that people don't want to be shot over a counterfeit $20 bill, whether that's true or not. I actually understand that there are people that think a Black person pulled over by the police shouldn't end in tragedy if they have a broken taillight, or that someone running away from a child support warrant shouldn't be gunned down from 50 feet away. And if you're on the other side of that coin, Facebook, Instagram, it's not here to make you feel that mid-America, flyover country, the red states have a modicum or one iota of concern about what's going on the coastal communities, especially in Black and brown communities. So they want you to hate Wisconsinites and Michiganders and Iowans, if that's the word. They want you to think that every town in between D.C. and San Francisco is a sundown town where you can't enter if you're African-American. That's what social media is for. Social media is to make your daughter think that she's not good looking enough. Social media is to make your son think that he's not tall enough and not a good enough ball player because he can't dunk on a fast break between his legs like Jimmy Gatwick. Look it up. Jimmy Gatwick's pretty awesome, for the record. Social media is supposed to make you think that everybody's living a better life than you. Everybody has a more beautiful family than you. They got a nicer house. They drive a nice car. You see the pictures with their family. Everybody's smelling and stuff. Meanwhile, you have no idea that 3 minutes before they took the picture, the baby was vomiting all over the place, and the two brothers and sisters were having a rock'em sock'em, one-on-one, mano-a-mano fight in the backyard because it's all about putting up a front. It's a scam. It's to create an illusion of a reality that does not exist. And unfortunately, I've been going through a lot with my family. I've been moving away from social media. I have to promote the show. But you don't see me on social media talking about my personal life and stuff like that much anymore because I cannot live in this false reality right now. I can't look at people who are pretending that their life is great when I know that their life is miserable. I can't look at people pretending to have more money than they have or better shoe collection than they have or whatever material things they want. And then people projecting their religious beliefs and the premise of Caucasian Jesus onto the masses. So Zuckerberg's in a lot of hot water with the feds, and I don't know what's going to happen there. I know that Zuckerberg has billions of dollars, but he's not going to beat the feds. If the feds want to break up Facebook and Monopoly, they're going to break it up. Feds win, you lose. Once you get enough money, enough power, feds say, hey, we're going to break that up. So if it wasn't this whistleblower, it would be something else, but the feds are going to say, hey, you can't be bigger than us. But, listeners out there, use your common sense. These social engineering programs are deliberate. If you're single and you identify as single, you're going to get every single picture of someone that's happily in wedded bliss to make you feel worse about yourself. If you hate Black Lives Matter, you're going to get as many posts from Fox News and Breitbart about how there were 20 shootings on the south side of Chicago on Saturday night. And that the mayor of Chicago is a BLM supporter. And this is what happens. Liberals are coming to your town to ruin your town and turn it into a war zone. Like the south side of Chicago. If you're an anti-vaxxer, you're going to get a lot of messages from people saying that, hey, anyone that takes the vaccine has accepted the mark of the beast. And that these liberals want to come into your town, they want to force you into a gulag. If you won't take the vaccine, that's deliberate social engineering. So I don't know what the feds are going to do, but rather Zuckerberg, whoever owns is a Clubhouse, Instagram. I know Instagram's owned by Facebook now. Amazon, all of these companies, that's their agenda. They can't go full communism. I mean, they can't buy the roads and they can't force you into 4 years of, it's not like Hitler Youth. It's not like they're indoctrinating you to force you into, it's not like Genghis Khan, where they force you into military service. What they do is they engineer you. They tell you that you're not good enough. They tell you that everybody's happier than you, smarter than you, better than you. Politics are better than you. They incite hate. They incite depression. And then they watch the world burn to a crisp from their penthouse. That's what this is all about. That's the point of these programs. So when the chickens come home to roost, I don't know how people are angry. If you don't want to be exposed to that stuff, my advice would be to just turn it the hell off. Then you're not exposed to those things. Then you're actually able to have a positive self-image. You're able to feel good about yourself. You're not embroiled in all of these political discussions and all this anger and all this vitriol and all this hate. Unplug from that nonsense. Lance J Show.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Mr. McDowell.
What is it?
Sir, I was wondering, did you happen to catch the professional football contest on television last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was most exhilarating. The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. And in the end, the Giants triumphed by kicking an oblong ball made of pigskin to a big H. It was a most ripping victory.
Son, I'm just going to tell you this one time.
Yes, sir.
You want to keep working here. Stay off the drugs.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network. Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
Paid off like the assassin, now I'm blasting, I'm taking over. Stick you for your blue Range Rover. I told ya, Rampage, a real live soldier. Been in the game since the age of 13.
James Lewis.
Dwelling south of the Hudson, New Jerusalem in seclusion. Using fake pseudonyms. Yeah. I'm true bad. Mind travels like a schizo with two tabs with do-rags hanging from my pockets.
What, boy?
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
At Industrious, we don't want anything to get between you and your great day. That's why our private offices and suites come with everything you need to safely connect with your teammates in person or over Zoom so you can make every day a great one. Go to industriousoffice.com. Enjoy a great day at Industrious on us when you book a tour at industriousoffice.com.
You don't know me. Probably never will.
but I need you to do something for me.
Something that could literally
change everything.
You'll never get a thank you card, and yet I need you to do it.
And if that weren't enough, I need you to do it as soon as you are able to.
If you do this for me,
I'll do it for you.
And for every single person you love.
Deal?
This is our shot to leave COVID behind.
Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lounge J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
We've had a real jam-packed week in the Lounge J Radio Network. I had David Meyer in earlier this week to talk about CMS's and Medicare's new Star Rating. We're doing all healthcare all the time, so I'm tabling Isaac some of my poorest sports takes,
okay,
and hot takes for similar to that you would hear on the Four Letter Network. And we're really focusing on health this week.
Good.
Shout out to our sponsors at Episource. And all of our listeners on WOL on Radio 1, Urban 1 Networks out of Washington, D.C. So I have Isaac Palmer with me. It's always a pleasure when he's in the booth. And we're continuing. I'm going to hand it over to him. We're continuing our series of, you know, this is a Black Men's Health Corner or just really a safe space.
Yeah.
Where we've had people to come in and talk about their health experiences. People have called in from all over the country and shared some riveting stories. Getting a lot of good feedback about that. So I want to turn it over to Isaac. I know that we have a guest
this evening that's
going to chat with us.
We got Mike on the line, and I like how you said safe space, because I think Black men experience healthcare in the dark too often.
Very well put.
And so let's just put some light on it. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
So I'm good. This is personal for me because me and Mike go way back. I think we had our first girlfriends together in fifth grade in Huntsville, Alabama.
That is way back.
We went to college together. And Mike is a professional.
And how did those relationships end up?
We are not with either one of those particular young ladies. Great women.
Make sure.
But fifth grade was not.
Well, sometimes it's
not where you choose.
Sometimes it's love at first sight, and it matriculates all the way to the end.
So Mike is a professional, family man. Mm. I say all that to paint a picture of a regular guy,
right?
Because what he's going to say, you think happens to different people, Mike. Tell us where it began.
I've been a runner for a long time. Started in elementary school, just running, and I had a coach come in overseas, and he saw that we were playing soccer on a full field, and we were probably like 12, and we're running up and down the court, and he said, hey, why don't you guys run around this thing four times? And that's how we started running. So I was, you know, a runner over time, and ran a marathon, my first one, and started having problems after that. Just started having problems with balance issues. I played a lot of basketball, and all of a sudden I had no balance. I couldn't play basketball. So I just really leaned back on the running. And
let's pause there for a quick second. You noticed the balance issues. Did you walk it off? Did you call somebody?
Did you tap your wife
and be like, this is weird? What was your first reaction?
My first reaction was to walk it off. Wow. You're getting older. You're just not who you were. And this is part of growing old.
And I'm going to interject because part of my Lyme disease, I have Lyme disease and I have balance issues. And my balance issues keep me from being able to play basketball anymore. And when I first was getting into my battle with Lyme disease, that was one of the first things to go. And I also tried to walk it off. You know, I just figured that, hey, you know, I have some disequilibrium, I'll be fine, you know, if I just have to work out a little bit harder and relearn it. And that was one of the first of many serious. And Lyme disease can be very similar to quite a few disorders. And balance is one of the first things that went with me. So yeah, well, I understand what that feels like to be trying to dribble and to cross someone up and you just physically don't really know where the ball is. You just don't really understand it. Yeah.
They thought I had Lyme disease at first.
Interesting.
And, so I did exactly what you said. I had such balance issues. I was twisting my ankle by myself.
Same here. Exact thing that happened to me.
Yeah. So I just shook it off and said, well, let me do running. I'm just going to be running in straight line.
Straight line. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So did that marathon. And after that, that's when I had my first episode, but no one knew what it was. The doctor didn't even know what it was. I woke up and left side of my face was like I had a stroke. So no muscle tension, anything, just everything hanging.
Okay, so is this just the point where you run to the ER?
You have no choice.
And again, say,
yeah, oh yeah,
God help me. Okay, all right.
And what makes it even funnier is my healthcare professionals are almost like my family. They're my best friend's brothers. So they're his two brothers are my two healthcare providers. So it's not like they were looking at me as another number. Right. They were really concerned.
They're invested in your care, which I think is very, before even hearing the rest of the story, Isaac, it's so important to have people that are invested in your care.
Yeah.
And I know that you talk about that. You're being a hospital CEO. We talk about the importance of having, if it's African-American, it's important for me to have a black doctor. It's important for someone to say, look, I've seen what diabetes does. I've seen what high blood pressure does. I see what things that affect your community do. And I'm letting you know while you're in your 40s that you need to do these things so you don't have these issues when you're in your 60s. And I think that's important.
When the numbers don't lie. When most of the doctors are white or non-black, the chances of us getting someone that is invested to see our humanity
is less.
It's less. Mike is fortunate to have the family that he has. Absolutely. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you to jump forward. Ultimately, what is the diagnosis?
The diagnosis is MS, the remitting kind that goes and comes and worsens over time. And
but it's not the most aggressive form.
No.
Okay.
Not at this point. So, and then in my healthcare, my neurologist was, you know, he didn't look like me. He was a Caucasian, but he was completely different than the other doctors that I dealt with because he didn't just throw medicine at me. He actually said, before I give you any meds, I want to see your disease process.
Yeah.
And I was impressed when he did that.
Right.
Yeah.
Treated you like an individual.
Yeah.
So tell for the audience, because we have a pretty diverse audience. Multiple sclerosis is such a complex illness. Tell us a little bit about what that entails, what causes it, and what are some of the things that you do to stay healthy?
Okay. Well, in short, multiple sclerosis is your own immune system attacking the body. The myelin sheath that covers your nerves. So it eats that and destroys that. And that is the thing that insulates your nerves. So instead of signals traveling down nerve tissue and everything in a regular fashion, it arcs over, it damages the pathways, and it even affects your brain. So I was diagnosed because they did an MRI finally. Yep. And when they saw my MRI, I had white lesions in my brain. And I was only 44 at the time. So they were saying you're too young to have that much white matter on your brain. So
otherwise, yeah.
Right. So it affects your body, namely in that sense. So it affects everything that's controlled by nerves. I had problems swallowing, my vision, my balance, walking. It all just stress. As stress came, matter of fact, I got diagnosed right in COVID when it was first jumping off. And
That's right.
Was stressful. And it just kicked it up a whole nother notch.
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't want to be too intrusive about family, but how does it impact your career and what you do to put food on the table?
Well, I was blessed because I'm in healthcare and we had to close our facility because of COVID. So I was off for 3 months and was taken care of by, you know, workman's comp and all that kind of stuff. So I was able to go to the doctor, but it did affect the family in the sense of my wife is just like, I don't know what to do. Like, you're just, you're going through this. I'm trying to support you. She didn't really know what to do. It took time for her to kind of figure out what to do. It was pretty intense because it's, you actually have, and I didn't know this at first, it actually deals with your mood. It deals with the way you deal with emotions. I had noticed that I was very emotional before all this. And I was thinking, I'm just getting older. I'm getting emotional. But that was definitely a huge change. And she had to adjust to that. So it definitely was a learning phase where we had to just work it out together. So
what are some of the things that you're doing to stay healthy as possible? Because I'm glad to hear that you have the less aggressive form. So that's, you know, that's a blessing within itself. But what are some of the things that you do to stay as healthy as possible as this illness progresses?
Okay, well, I talked to my neurologist and he said with relapsing remitting MS, he said you're kind of in the middle. So he said the first thing is you have to learn how to handle stress, because he said stress triggers the relapse. He said, don't stop working out, which was crazy. So when I came to him, I could barely walk. I did a round of steroids IV at the house, which completely reversed everything. My eyesight came back all the way. Balance got much better. So he said, when that happens, keep going to the gym. I kept running. I kept lifting weights and I kept doing that. So what I do is I stay in the gym, I walk, I do all those things. I just keep my activity up, because he was telling me if I don't, then I'll have problems with flexibility and things tightening up.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast, because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.